Welcome to episode 406 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and time again about how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check us out on YouTube by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay and George. Azamara Cruises, known for its port-intensive itineraries, offering longer port stays, overnights, and accessing unique ports that often appeal to the culturally curious traveler, the small premium line offers a luxury immersive experience with the perfect blend of authentic experience and indulgent luxury, enticing both avid cruisers as well as land lovers. Recently, Lindsay answered Azamara's siren call and boarded the Azamara Pursuit for a 10-night Northern Cities voyage. For research purposes, of course. And she, did I say research purposes? I think I did.
Purposes. I like that. Mm-hmm. We need that under like a bumper sticker.
For research purposes, of course. And she is here to spill all of the details, the good, the bad, and the Oz amazing. Just realized that we wrote almost the same introduction to our,
at the to our same time.
So at the same time, we were writing at the same time. So let's get started. So, okay, first, can you just describe, Lindsay, for us, what is an Azamara cruise versus any other cruise line that you may have heard of?
Okay, so they first came on my radar years ago now. I've always been kind of intrigued by this smaller ship able to go into places where the bigger ships can't get to. They offer this concept. They were one of the first ones to start doing this longer in port. So more time in your destination, doing overnights. They do more overnights. And they have a rotating schedule. So they only have four ships. And actually the one that I was on, the Pursuit, used to be owned by Carnival Corp and Fathom. And so I had sailed on her previously as the Adonia in another one of her lives. But before that, she was a P&O ship. And so all of the ships that Azamara has are in this same class design. So if you're on one of their ships, it's like you've been on all of them. They have this, I think I may be a little biased, but I think it's the perfect layout for a ship. It's not too big. I think 600, I'm going to get the number wrong. George is going to have to correct me, but I think it's around 600 passengers capacity on these ships. And it just has that, you know, it's not too big, but it's just big enough that it has all of the right areas and space that you need to feel like you're not on top of each other. And their focus is more in-depth, authentic experiences. And to go along with this, they offer something that's very unique to Azamara, which is their Azamazing evening. So usually with each itinerary, there'll be one special evening that's set aside where there will be some form of over-the-top entertainment, usually in a location that you, something you would never be able to come up with and do on your own. This is whether it's a concert in a historical location or something like that, that just adds tremendous value to your experience of being in this destination. So for our cruise, because we're coming off of, you know, post-COVID, restrictions were still in place in a few of the destinations we're at. So when you're thinking about getting 600 people off a ship and to a location for a concert event, it really didn't happen. So our Azamazing evening ended up being on the cruise ship, which was fine. It was an amazing singer. I did not stay for the whole performance because I wanted to go check out Copenhagen, but but it was Amsterdam. We were in Amsterdam that night.
Amsterdam.
Yeah. So, but that's what they're known for, is this immersive, they call it luxury. I would say they're more along the lines of a premium brand, but they do have quite a few luxury features, and it is very immersive in comparison to some of the other brands I've experienced. And it's very unique in that aspect of repeat clientele as well. A lot of the people who were on the sailing that I was on have sailed not just one or two, we're talking 20, 27, 29 times with Azamara. So there's quite a little bit of a love for this brand and for this this way of experiencing the world. And when the itineraries rotate like this, you can continually sail.
Yeah.
I feel like you're doing the same thing over and over again.
I want to talk about that because we're going to talk about your itinerary in particular, but it's very important to note that your itinerary in particular isn't one that you can do just like, you can't just go any time of year and do this itinerary. It's not like these ships do that. So can you talk a little bit about how their ships sort of flow, if you will?
So my itinerary, I did a 10-night Northern Cities voyage. And so this started in Lisbon and went, we ended up coming off in Stockholm, but it does kind of flow based on ports that they've been to or that they haven't been to. You know, you got to remember you've all these people sailing over and over again with this company. They don't want to go to the same place over and over and over again. But it was a very unique itinerary. That's what drew me to it. To get to see so many different countries and experience such a wide variety of culture and activities and food. And that was extremely appealing to me. And they're longer voyages. They do have like 10 nights, 12 night. They've got their, and they've even got a world voyage. That's an option as well in 2023.
So to clarify, you know, you did Lisbon to Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't have done Stockholm to Lisbon the week before.
No, it probably
came from Barcelona, maybe.
Yeah, came from Barcelona. And now when it left Stockholm, I don't remember where it was going, but it was going flopping itineraries to another set of itineraries. So,
and that's how they do the world cruise, right? They're mm-hmm. stringing together basically these, yep.
And they're, these itineraries. Selling them in segments too, as well. So you don't have to do the whole entire 155 days. You can do a segment of that world cruise. But when you put it all together in this package of this smaller ship with these luxury components in it and these unique ports, I mean, we went to Guernsey. Okay. We went to Guernsey and I did one of my favorite tours was the was themed after the literary mm-hmm. the Potato Peel Society, mm-hmm. the book. So mm-hmm. we got to ride in this antique bus and our tour guide had actually, when she was a child, it was the bus that picked her up to go to school.
Oh, wow.
And now as an adult in her, I think 60s, I'd say about 60s, 70s, maybe, she was giving tours in this bus that had Mabel had picked her up every day.
So you didn't put this in. You didn't put this in here. So I may be putting you on the spot, but I'm curious. What was your full itinerary? So you started in Lisbon and ended up in Stockholm. Yep. But do you know all the places you went to?
Because so
I think that sort of would share some of these smaller. Like how small are these ports other than Guernsey, which is obviously very small. But
so we went to Lisbon. We did go to Porto. And from Porto, people were able to, of course, go do an excursion to the Douro and visit some wineries and things like that. We went to St. Peter's, the Channel Islands, went to Honfleur, Amsterdam. Of course, we were in Amsterdam for two days. We had an overnight in Amsterdam. And then Kiel, Germany, which wasn't really a stop. It was, we were just in the Kiel Canal. We were in the canal.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't get out. Yeah. It was, we could see Germany on both sides. and then Copenhagen and Visby, Sweden, which is remarkable. Like a little bit of kind of like walking to a fairy tale medieval type village. And then ended up in Stockholm. So I thought it was
great.
Very cool itinerary. Mm-hmm. As somebody who likes to see quite a variety of things in a trip, it was nice to have so many different and to be in. We were parked down not too far away from where the river cruise ships are.
Yeah.
So just to kind of give you an idea of.
So you mentioned Guernsey is one of your favorites. What was one of your other favorite excursions that you did?
Oh my gosh, I really love. We went to Honfleur, which mm-hmm. is. It truly is a beautiful little town in France. And I went to farmer's market and got some fresh strawberries and was able to eat them. I stood in like the longest line. Everybody's getting their groceries for the week. And my poor friend who was there with me is like, why are we waiting? I'm like, you don't understand. These are the best strawberries ever. And so we got these great strawberries and got some cheese and we kind of walked around. We went to Rouen, which was another beautiful little town. Visby. I don't know if I can pick a favorite because we saw so many unique places I would not have gone to or gotten into had kind of not done this itinerary. I knew I was going to enjoy Amsterdam and Copenhagen and Stockholm and Portugal, but you know, to find myself falling in love with Guernsey the way that I did, I really kind of want to just go back there for a week and take some books and rent a little house by the water.
But it's nice. It's kind of like many river cruises. You get some larger cities along with some smaller ones. Yeah. So it's a nice mix. You know, you're not only going to teeny tiny little towns, but you're also not going only to big cities.
So. Yeah, exactly. You're not doing just the same tourist path. I mean, of course, there were some touristic type things that we could do there in all these locations, but it didn't feel like the same combination that you'd see.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got to talk about it. Let's start with the drinks because we'll go with cocktails and then we'll go with dinner. So we'll talk about food.
I am incredibly relieved to report that I absolutely love their bar menus. The drinks were very unique. In each area had its own different bar menu, which was fantastic. It was a plus and a negative because if you liked something from one area, it was kind of,
when you say area, you mean geographic area? They changed the bar menu out with where you travel? That's nice.
No, not geographic area. I mean, area in the ship. So each lounge area had its own menu. Which was very nice.
I was about to be really impressed. Versus, not just impressed, but
yeah, versus every, but I will say going along with that and maybe getting a little ahead of myself and talking about food, the menus changed with the geographic area. And along with that, the wines that they served and the what was offered for desserts. And they had this unique, I don't know if it's unique or I've just never noticed it on any other cruise line before, but I don't know who was driving the ship because we constantly saw the captain and the whole entire crew were serving every day at lunchtime. They would be serving like crepes or waffles or some type of midday snack dessert up on the pool deck area.
And the ship was moving at this time?
Well, no, we're in port, but I'm sure they had the second or whatever, but they were, the captain I asked one time and he said, I'm doing the iCruise, driving it from his phone. But they would have these little pop-up dessert buffets, I guess is all I can think to call it. And the seating was so comfortable and amazing. They had those egg chairs that hang from the little, they had those everywhere. They had them in the water therapy area where you buy your pass, which I did. I did get a pass for the week. And
of course you did.
Of course I did.
For science.
For science. I got a massage and I did acupuncture and I did cupping. I spent quite a bit of time in the spa, but it was a 10-night cruise. So
yeah,
it was research. So, but they had my favorite spot in the whole ship was right above on the sun deck. So the upper deck. So there's the deck with the pool, and then there's the deck that kind of overlooks the deck with the pool, that sun deck area. They had two hanging egg chairs, one on either side of, I guess, the stack. And I could just go sit up there and watch the world just flow by. It was the most amazing, my favorite place on the entire ship. And I would go back in a heartbeat just to live there, live in that little area. But,
so Port, with you saying that, it makes me, it begs the question, if I am the sort of cruiser that does enjoy being out on the open ocean and watching the ocean go by, with it being port intensive, do you still get that?
You do, but you're not in the, you're in channels. You're not, you know, okay. out at the, you're not out in the deep blue, so okay. to speak, as much as you, you know, there's a couple moments, but for the most part, you're in port. This is definitely the type of itinerary that a lot of the people that we talked to, that during the week or during the 10 days, I met a lot of people who had, one lady in particular, 26, I think she had been 26 times on Azamara, and she doesn't like to cruise, but she loves Azamara because she likes to be in a different port every day. And it's, she likes like to have the access. It's like a river cruise only.
Yeah. If river cruising and ocean cruising had a baby.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. If you had to have a cross between or a transitional product in between the two, it would be this perfect marriage of some of the, like they had the theater and the, and now this is probably a hope that nobody who I love from Azamara ever listens to this. Entertainment on board was, you know, so, but there were lectures and there was a wide variety of entertainment. So it wasn't like you were locked into one thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like if you didn't like this show that you couldn't go to the see the comedian or, Elizabeth, you're going to freak out. So the hands down, the most amazing trivia, the hardest trivia I have ever seen.
I believe that.
On a cruise ship. The absolute hardest trivia. And trivia was like, it was intensive. Like they would have multiple times a day. You would have this type of trivia, and then you'd have this type of trivia and all these activities. And then I noticed a second or third day, actually probably more like the fourth or fifth day, I realized everyone was keeping these scorecards and getting stamps doing the activities. I'm like, well, I haven't been doing that. What's that for? They give prizes. So for competitive people like you, you would love this because you get
no idea what you're talking about. I am not.
Whatever. There's like a prize cabinet. And anyway, I ended up.
Are they good prizes? Or are they keychains?
I got a really cool Azamara passport holder.
Miss, I'm not competitive.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. And the thing is, this was a sympathy prize. It came with a really cool pen. Because I didn't know about the prizes. And then I had all these stamps and I didn't go turn my thing in. And the guy who happened to be in control of the prize cabinet, which happens to be in the lounge where I was at the end of the night, he's like, let me count your things. And he's like, okay, you have enough for either this or this. What do you want? But I guess if you got 30, you got a t-shirt. But I didn't have 30. I think I had 27 or something.
Slacker. I'm disappointed.
I know. Well, it was hard trivia. It was not, this was not easy trivia. This was not your first time cruiser trivia. This was people with PhDs and master's degrees. And then there are groups that clearly had done this, getting full perfect scores on every single one, and groups of 10 and 20, highly competitive, a lot of fun. Really got into it kind of the second part of the cruise. Wish I had known about it to begin with, because I would have been down there. Just if nothing else, I think it's an excellent, like a people.
Psychological watching, study.
Yeah, like a psychological little mini study of people and their behavior in the wild, so to speak. So yeah, I would catch it when I was coming back from the shore, and you'd have to walk through the bar lounge where they would have it, and I'd be like, oh, trivia is going on right now, or you know. So anyway, but it very so back to that, the global food.
Yes,
they had amazing buffets out on the pool deck. And when I tell you this, I'm going to say buffet and you're going to, in your head, you're going to think like buffet. I'm going to have to put pictures with this because there's no way you're going to believe the cakes that I saw that they had out there. The day that we had cheese from Dutch cheese, oh my God, there were like 100 different varieties of cheese. It's not like they had three or four, like literally 100 different varieties of cheese on this giant table.
And George have eaten from this buffet? He's a very picky eater. Okay.
Oh yeah. They would have found him something. There.
Okay.
It was so good.
Skeptical George is skeptical.
Skeptical George is skeptical. But they had like the when we went through Germany, we were getting German food. We had Oompa music, and we had the German buffet, and we had with the Black Forest cake, which was probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen put together on a cruise ship. You have to remember, they can do this and they can create this quality of food again, because they're not making it for 4,000 people. They're only making it for a couple hundred people. And that's a big difference.
Kiel, Germany is nowhere near the Black Forest. I'm just saying.
No, it isn't. But that Black Forest cake was really good. And we can call it whatever you want to call it, as long as I can eat it. It was so good.
So you're talking about buffets, but you know, I don't really love buffets, no matter how beautiful they are. So can I still sit down and get myself some food?
Okay. Yes, there were several sit-down options. The main dining room area. There were also two specialty restaurants on board. One of them was an Italian, but I would say it's more like a seafood than an Italian, like maybe Italian seafood. Okay. I didn't really,
Italians do eat seafood, to be fair.
Yeah. Aqualina wasn't really my favorite. I did meet some people who loved it, but wasn't really my jam. The steakhouse, Prime Sea, that was phenomenal.
That's what George
I ate there twice. We had two reservations for Aqualina, and then we ate there once and then canceled the other one. And then we had two for Prime Sea. And then we did the chef's table, which the chef's table originally was only offered two nights on this 10-night sailing. And it was Italian one night, French another night, but it booked so fast. And there were so many people who were interested in it. They added more nights. So we were actually able to do, we did it once and we could have done it again, but we were only going to repeat if it was, we did the French and we were going to repeat if it was the Italian, but it was French again and we didn't want to take the spot, but it was really, really, really good. I mean, it was like lobster salad with green asparagus parfait and Bacardi caviar and beef consomme with caramelized onions and
You're in, George, right? You're all in.
Yeah. I'm totally in.
Yeah. Filet of beef, herbs of Provence. It was delicious.
So was that an additional cost?
Yes, that was an additional cost.
All right, I'm out.
And he's just like that. He's back out again. But I will tell you the only things I paid additional for it is I did buy a drink package. I did pay more for the specialty dining. And I did pay more for the shore excursions, but your gratuities are included in your price.
Are any drinks included, or is it, I mean,
just your regular soda and stuff that you would drink, your table wine, I guess, whatever, but you're not your booze.
So basic beer and wine was included in meals.
Basic, yeah. But anything above that you had to give them your card because they had to put it on the package. But I really think it was worth it to do the package for a 10 night. It was definitely, I think, more affordable for that drink package than it was on some of the bigger cruise lines I've been on. And I did really get my money's worth out of it because I was getting good craft cocktails, not pre-mixed pours, which I know doesn't matter to a lot of people, but there are some. It matters too. It matters to me. So I did like that. I like that we were getting a little bit of a craft. Was it like the fanciest craft cocktail experience? Definitely not. These were kind of basic craft cocktails, but they were still good. And they were very decent variety too. So sometimes I know when you get a drink package, I've been on a cruise ship where I had a drink package and I was like, I don't want to drink any of this. Gonna do. But there was at least enough that I wanted to try something in every area. So
we haven't talked about the staterooms at all. So are these, I assume it's a smaller ship, so probably smaller staterooms.
It is, I would say, just trying to think. I have to pull out my visual aid here because I do not think it was the smallest stateroom that I've been in. I think they were pretty decent size, but the bathrooms weren't, they were regular cruise ship size bathrooms. It was definitely the kind where you want the door open if you're I mean, I could fit all the way in the shower. I didn't have to have the shower door open, but I definitely had to have the door open at some point in time to get dressed, because bending over in that room to put pants on or whatever wasn't, you're going to hit your head on something. So I will say that, you know, going up a category to get more living space on this would definitely be a good idea if you're somebody who needs space. But I was in just a regular balcony, and it was fine for two people. It would have been, I think, perfect for one person, or for a couple. But if you need, I had a roommate who I'm very comfortable with. If you need extra space, this is definitely go up to a suite.
Okay. And is it all balcony?
No, there were interiors or balconies. There were, let's see. And I apologize for not remembering off the top of my head. Yeah. No, I had a balcony, and I will say the seating on the balcony was amazing. The chairs were really comfortable. The table was nice. It was a good size balcony. Like, you could really sit out there and enjoy yourself. Sometimes you open up the balcony and you got like a little tiny, exactly. So that one, I will say that they're, I like how that was done. I like the room layout too. It was nice. I don't feel like they did too much to the rooms themselves, layout wise, because I did go back and look at my pictures from bathroom, and I sort of, they changed some things in the bathroom, but it was the same size as my bathroom.
There's only so much they can do without completely busting out walls and stuff.
So. I wouldn't do anything less than a Veranda, though, for sure. I definitely would not. I wouldn't do an interior myself. I like to be able to sit outside. This ship, there are a lot of places in the common areas where you can go grab a lounger or grab something and sit there. But I did spend some time out on our balcony as well.
Ship inspection on Azamara, and I was on the ship that right before their last ship where they removed the casino from.
Okay.
So that was, they were turning it into public space. So they showed us what it was on other ships, and I was like, oh, that's so nice. Because this casino was, if you're worried that, oh gosh, I'll miss the casino, it was like a few slot machines. It wasn't like a tabled casino. So it was almost like, why have it at all? Which is exactly what they said in our tour. They were like, we decided it wasn't worth having. Yeah. So, and that became all seating space. So if you want to go to the casino, do the Monte Carlo.
Do the Monte Carlo one.
Yes, the Monte Carlo itinerary.
I like that there was no casino, and I like that their room service is 24 hours and it's complimentary. And it's good food.
That's nice.
Yeah. So and they're fast too. Although I did feel bad one morning. I really wanted to do early rise. Like there was no, I was up at 6 and wanted to grab something. And I'd just been on the few weeks prior, I've been on river cruises. So I was in that river cruise mentality where I could get up early and go get my little pastry or whatever. Wait till like 7 or 7:30 when breakfast opens up, or you can go back to your room and order room service. But I wanted to sit out on the deck.
Yeah.
Outside. I'm like, I gotta go sit in my room to order. Sorry. Yeah. There's a little bit of compromise there, but it.
That's a big compromise when you want to sit on deck, but there's no food service on deck. That's a huge difference. But you had your balcony. Did you try to eat on your balcony?
Yeah, I did. I did do that. That was just super. It was like a 20-minute inconvenience in my life, because by 20 minutes later, everything was open and it was fine. Yeah. But I was like, oh, it's just getting up early. This is why I don't get up early.
Yes, there's no food for me.
I got to walk back into order. And I was in the area they just made the food. And, you know, they're making the food so you can smell it.
Yes. Yeah. So is there like a main dining room and then there's the specialty restaurants? Is that sort of how it's laid out?
Yeah. There's a main dining room and there's a specialty restaurant, but then there's also like the buffet area, which at night gets turned over. And they do this cuisine of the world, where each night is a different theme, and you can check out the menus. They have a table right when you're walking into the buffet area upstairs. So in the morning for breakfast or whatever, you go up there, and on that table is a menu from each of the restaurants and then the schedule for the entire cruise. So you can go see, oh, it's Indian night on this night. Well, do I want the Indian food in the cafeteria, or do I want the Indian food in the sit down restaurant, or do I want a specialty? Or, you know, you can kind of gauge your, you know, the first thing you want to do on board is go make those dining reservations for specialty though, because that'll be that and the spa. If you only have one sea day, so to speak, that's the day everybody wants the spa. And we only had this entire 10-night itinerary, we only really had one technical sea day. So that's what I mean by having access to the ports. If you've been to these places multiple times, like for somebody who'd been to Amsterdam multiple times, I'm sure that there were people who didn't even leave the ship. We're like, I didn't. And there were people who lived in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
We had people on board who were going to, like, we were joking, wonder if they went home and did their laundry. Yeah. Got their grocery shopping so that when they were done, they could just go home. And but the white party, I have to say, and I'll have to figure out how to do a digital of this and put it up there.
Oh, they really do a white party.
Yeah. And it was the coolest white party. Again, I feel very biased saying this, but it's probably the coolest white party I've ever been to. There were so many people. Oh, my friend Shannon and I were looking, we were like, where did all these people come from? It was the hoppinest white party I've ever seen. That whole where we were standing, this was right at the beginning when we first came out, because we would not have been able to stand there for that picture. Like 20 minutes later, it was just packed, and people stayed out there the entire time. And they would have specialty drinks. They'd go around with like Bailey's cocktails and stuff when it was cold out and everyone was outside. There was a lot of
okay. Well, now George is really like, in
Bailey's. My magic word.
I know I mentioned this when I was talking about how Virgin, their entertainment is designed to kind of get you socializing with other people. I feel like how Azamara has their interaction with the guests set up, and where they have people flowing the natural flow of traffic on that ship, I feel like that pool deck area is kind of the heart of the ship. And it seems like there's a lot of the social interaction that happens out there with the bands and with the hors d'oeuvres and the buffet in the middle of the day that no one was expecting, or when they get out the grill and they're grilling out German sausages and stuff like that right on the deck, or they're doing this, or they do these little impromptu dessert things. It's all out in that area. And I feel like there's a lot going on inside too, but that area is definitely feels like it had its own little pulse and heartbeat of the ship, so to speak.
Well, I'm interested. George, are you in?
Yeah.
There were lectures and there were people who gave talks. There was somebody who gave a talk about NASA. There were scientists and stuff on board. And I didn't go to, you think you have all this time, 10 nights. You think I should have enough time to do some things, right? I just never have enough time.
Too much.
By the time you get done doing whatever we did a shore excursion every day. Of course I did. Uh-huh. I did, except for when we were in Porto, we went to a couple cellars and anyway, just did our own thing. But you think you have a lot more time than you do. And then you come back and then, it's dinner. And if you want to do work and whatnot, but I definitely don't think I'm going to be looking at too many 7-night sailings on anything. I think 10 and over is going to be my sweet spot from now on.
Yep. I like it. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.